Hello, everyone, hey. And welcome. You didn't even give me a chance this time.
I thought you were saying hello.
Hello. To you?
Yeah. Are we friends? We're real life friends now. We're not just internet friends.
We met once.
We met one time, and now we're like real life friends. That's how it works.
All right, why don't you go ahead, lead us in. What's up?
Hey, cool cats and kittens, welcome to the radio podcast hour of Mr. Pick Me and the Man-Hater. My name is Chesco on the ones and twos, better known to hims, hers, and theys as Mr. Pick Me. On the show with me right now is my partner in crime,
Reagan. Hi, it's me, Reagan, a.k.a. the Man-Hater, even though I don't hate men. I was very tickled by the politically correct radio DJ. Don't get enough of that, let me tell you.
Cool Cats and Kittens was pushing it, so I had to make sure to, because there's no gender there, but, you know.
Yeah.
I had to make sure to bring it back around and show that I am aware.
You're a cool DJ.
That I get it. I'm with it.
You're hip.
Yep.
Can I, on the radio.
A proud parent moment was, so my daughter found a Babysitter's Club on I think Netflix. I think is where
they have a show.
They have a show, and they talk about like trans rights. They talk about all sorts of, but they have a whole specific episode, and I was just listening in the background doing something. I was, oh, Babysitter's Club, that's great, that's fine. I just approved it without, and normally
great
I like try
series.
To, yeah, and so, but there was all, and my favorite thing about it was that she watched the entire episode and had zero questions because it wasn't, that was like, she's been exposed to so much that like, it was not like, Dad, what is this? It was just like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I was like, and that's what happens when you and that's the little thing. I've never had a straight up conversation necessarily, like a full, like we've tried to break down gender to her, but we have books in our home that has representation of people, and right. We have friends in our life, right? And so anyways, I was proud of the fact that she had zero questions or thoughts about it, and that it was just any episode for her. And that's how most kids should be.
They act like it's going to be like earth shattering. Like, God!
How do I have this conversation with my child? It's like, well, the problem is you're not having any conversations with your children up to this point.
Hey,
and then
Carl,
you had to wait.
When's the last time you've spoken to your child?
Right.
Besides yelling at them.
It's like, come on, shut up, Dad. Like, you ever talk to your child about anything ever.
Right.
Right. When's the last time you sat down and played a board game with your child?
What's the name of your child's doctor? Real quick, Carl. No? All right.
Nothing?
Thanks.
How about one of their teachers? Any of their teachers? For the past, since
name
they've been
their
in school.
Name of their school.
Name of their school. What time does school start?
What's
do you have,
her middle name?
What did they eat for breakfast any day this week?
Give me two allergies, I'll give you $2.
That's it. Come on. Give me something, Carl.
Oh, Carl, this is why you're going to go no contact in 10 years. Oh, it's going to be thrust upon you. Not
it's going to be thrust upon
your
for
choice.
no point. Where is this coming from, this fad of no contact?
And then you're going to have a TikTok run by Carl where he tells everyone about his kids that left him for no reason.
For no reason.
The strange
did you
parents.
See that the, Oprah has like a new show, I think?
It's kind of interesting. So Oprah put out a podcast. Mel Robbins is now doing something with it. Like, it's just interesting that at the time where economically people might have to be giving up their homes to their parents, and there's also legislation where the financial burden may fall upon people, like their parents' financial burdens fall upon the children. Isn't it interesting that at that same time, all of a sudden, everybody's anti-no contact?
Right. I also think it's funny. They're like, this new fad, this new TikTok trend of going, and I'm like, I wrote in the comments, I was like, you guys know this is not new, right? I was like, I went no contact with my father 25 years ago. It wasn't because I saw it on TikTok.
Hey, I liked no contact before it was cool.
I liked it. It was because I Googled it. What do you do when you have an abusive parent and you're old enough to not have to rely on them for anything anymore? Have you tried no contact?
Yeah, you know, as long as there's been trauma, there's been...
And it's not like I didn't...
No contact.
I want to be clear. I am not claiming that I invented no contact.
Did y'all know Chivsko invented no contact?
Did you know I was the first one? I was the very first one to ever go no contact.
How about back in the day when people would just, like, move continents?
Yeah, I know.
Back in those days.
Probably fairly simple to do it before. You just move out of town and
walk away.
They don't have your new number. It's like,
send me a letter, bitch.
Yep.
Send me a pigeon.
They have to walk around town yelling your name.
I know, because if you didn't have their address.
No, it's just.
Just like, oh, Debbie's dead now. She left. We can't find her.
I have, it's funny. I think about, like, the fact that I have friends that I lost complete contact with pre-social media solely because social media didn't exist. It was like, 100%. I have one friend that refuses to, I mentioned her in a pre-show, the friend that I don't talk to. I was like, well, I should give her a call. I haven't talked to her. Like, one of my best friends in the world, but she just does not do anything, not even Facebook, nothing social media wise. And so if they're not on there, I just kind of forget people exist. That's the ADHD thing too. I'm like, oh,
out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. Yep. But you'll pick right back up where you left off. I am so pro no contact with people who treat you poorly. I'm all about it.
No, yeah, I don't see any reason to. Yeah, I think people make it into a much bigger deal. And I think there's a lot of religious undertones to why people are upset about people going no contact.
In
the sense that you're so, no, that is your blood. That is you're supposed to respect your mother and father, even if they abuse you for your entire life. You forgive them. Did you try take
Jesus?
Not being abused? Did you try that even?
What part did you play?
What did you were what you did asking you do? For the abuse?
Oh no, Jessica, no. I know we're joking. It's so bad.
I know that's bad.
I you know what? I do think that's very hilarious that they're acting like it's this new hip thing to do.
Yeah, I know.
Have you heard of no contact?
Brought to you by TikTok. It's like as if somehow that was nobody had ever even considered going no contact before social media.
And also a lot of times the parents are no contact until they want contact. You know what I mean? They're not like actively involved. They're like, oh, looks like I need a picture for my Facebook to show everybody my cute grandkids. Right. I'm coming over. Like,
and
no.
A lot of times it'll be like, because they'll be like, well, you know, parents can go no contact too. Why are we so demonized for it? And I'm like, well.
Well, you brought them here.
Yeah, there's, you did play a role in getting them to the point where you don't want to be around them anymore.
Remember when you decided to bring them on this earth? That's on you a little bit.
Because they don't want to take any responsibility also for what they did throughout that child's life to get them to the point where, man, this person's a real shithead.
Not my bad.
Not my fault,
I told
though.
You, there was a, we'll get on track at some point.
Yeah.
There was a spiritual, back in the day when I was, I thought the spiritual people were like really loving and accepting of everyone, wrong. But there was a woman who was in that circle and I overheard her saying that her soul contract, as she said, was merely to bring the kids into the world and that was it. She had no other, just because the universe has told her, which is just her own mind, in my opinion, that all she had to do was bring the kids in the world and she has no responsibility to them, to feed them, take care of them, make sure they're okay. All of that's out the window because she said so.
Yeah.
So that's a fun one.
I'm sure there are exceptions to this where, like you did a good what you could, or some sort of shit happened that turned the child into a horrific person. Whatever it is, there could be any number of reasons why you could have a legitimate claim to doing it. But it's like 99% of the time when you hear it, and then you hear them talking about what they were doing, it's like, well, okay, I don't think you're as innocent in this as I think you are. To the 1% hearing this, that getting upset, I'm sure you're the exception.
I doubt those people listen to this podcast, honest.
Probably not.
We love accountability, and that's not the vibe.
No.
I have seen some of those estranged parents videos, and it is very, like, there is a whole community of them. There's, like, Doormat Mom. Have you ever heard of Doormat Mom?
No.
Yeah, she's leading the charge.
Yeah. Ugh. But it is, like, a lot of these videos, I'm like, okay. I see what I know.
I know. There's so many that immediately go, and that's why we're not talking.
Did you see? I'm sorry. This is another one of our real long pre-shows or long teasers.
We're in the show.
This is not a pre-show, but this is the show before the. This is us talking before the show. Did you see the one mom that tried to say it's not toxic to want to go on vacation with your son without his wife?
I did see that. I almost made a video about it. Yes,
yeah,
I did.
I saved it to make a video on it.
I did too. She was like, it's not toxic to just want to bring your kids and not invite their wives or husbands. Well, you know, not saying it's definitely my son. Yeah,
it was definitely. I was like, oh, because I don't think she did say wives, but it was like immediately I was like, I bet you she has sons.
I bet this woman has three sons.
This is a boy mom. That is very jealous of these women that have come into their lives. And I was like, it's so absurd too. And we don't need it. That could be a whole episode, but that pissed me off so much because it's weird. It was weird. She's going to be the one, but I don't know why they don't visit me anymore, even though I treat my daughter-in-law like shit because I hate her.
She doubled and tripled down on the thought. But yeah.
Unrelated or semi-related, not to parenting, but I think it's to not taking accountability is that there's something here. So there was a thread and I think that I think is really funny. And it was, ladies, what's something men think is attractive but actually gives you the ick instantly?
Oh, God.
Theme song.
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly. I got some good advice for ya.
No, you don't. Like, no, you don't.
I got some good advice for ya.
No, you don't. Like, no, you don't.
Shit.
Should I wear this for the rest of the show?
Hello, Ring. I am Bane.
Looks like you're wearing just part of underwear on your face.
It does. I did that. I was like, is this weird that I have underwear on my face? This is a plastic part of a mask that I'm making. It's a Deadpool mask that I'm building.
I'm probably going to cut that out because it's visual.
This is something that's cool. Making Deadpool masks is something that's really cool that I'm sure all women think is attractive, right?
Oh, some 3D printing, do.
3D printing masks for cosplay?
But only just the piece that looks
just
like
the part
the bulge.
That looks like that I'm wearing a crotch. I only figured out visual humor. This is our weekly visual humor. I figured out how to print it, and I made it slightly bigger. I had to download a program for it, but I didn't make it quite big enough, so I don't think it's actually going to fit me correctly when it's all said and done. So I think it's going to... Ow, scratch myself. I'm going to have to give it to somebody. Maybe one of our followers will win a Deadpool mask.
Do you want a bulge mask?
You want a bulge? You want this bulge face mask?
You know what? Let's talk about non-visual things, shall we?
Sure. So there's a bunch of them on here. I'll read some of the most liked ones.
Okay.
Saying they're not political, like they think that means they're a chill guy. No, bro. If you're of voting age, you should be caring about politics.
That's so good. And it's also almost always a sign that they're conservative.
I think that goes for any, honestly, that's a genderless phrase there too. Anytime someone says, I'm just not into politics.
Do you know what else it is? It's if you get into like a tricky conversation where someone's going to have to be accountable or like think about how their party is doing something maybe iffy. That's the first thing they'll say. Like, I don't really follow politics. That's a privilege to not have to. Like, most people have to follow it to make sure they still have rights.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever met someone, because it's the reason they're almost, I would say they're always conservative when that happens, because I don't think I have ever met someone who's like, you know, I'm not really into politics. And then you catch them, like, being a socialist.
Right.
They're like really into donating to like maternal health care and other feeding the poor. Like it's not there's that's it's almost always if not 100% of the time because they know their views are shitty And if they actually say them out loud, they're like, well, but I like the people that that I don't care about.
But I want to get laid.
Yeah, I'd like to have sex. So I'm just not, you know, I just don't understand why I have to make politics such a big deal. I'm just, you know, middle-class white guy. I don't understand, like, it doesn't play a role in my life. Yeah, I'm a middle-class white guy in California.
Who cares?
There's not really, I just can't see it playing a role in my life.
Yeah.
Then I think that's definitely, I think a lot of guys think they're pulling a fast one on their Tinder profiles.
That's exactly it. That's right. What they'll put, if you have to put whatever your affiliation is, they'll put. Not political.
You would think the thing that I think is funny about conservatism being such a repellent to like women nowadays, that's such a common theme, is that they're still drawn to it thinking that, no, women don't know what they're talking. They'll get over it. They'll stop. And like, and then that, why do you have this growing gap? Like, I think, what's her name? Tilly. I've mentioned her before on this podcast, but she debated Charlie Kirk back in like in the UK, Cambridge, way back when.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but she made a post about the fact that young women are often dating older men because they're not red-pilled. Right. And they're not saying they're less conservative, but it's less like in your face about all those kind of things. And men are like, no, women don't know what they're talking about. They love this stuff as the women their age are completely avoiding them like the plague. Number two, holding up a dead animal trophy. Oh, man, that is rough. That is I don't understand the hunting in general. This is me being a full-on city kid. I get that. I don't want to judge necessarily fully, but I don't get it.
I don't understand like why you think a woman would be like attracted to that, I guess. Mm-hmm. There are some women who also enjoy that activity who maybe would appreciate if you got a big buck or whatever, a mallard, whatever. But I think unless you enjoy the sport of hunting, like, why would you be thrilled to see someone holding a corpse?
I don't know.
And you know that he probably has a gun.
Yeah, probably.
He probably has several guns. I don't know a hunter that doesn't have multiple guns.
Yeah.
Just a thought. It's not my favorite wall dressing either.
No. It really bugs my wife. If we go anywhere where she sees like a head, like even a rest, like something, it really gets under her skin where she's just like, nope, can we go? I don't want to be here. I don't want to eat here.
I'm not trying to be judgmental, but it's not the most appealing thought to me that someone enjoys killing something.
Yeah.
That's
and
all.
I want to know at the very least, because I'm God knows I'm not a vegetarian or a vegan, so I'd be really judgmental if I'm like,
yeah,
like no. But I want to know that you're killing it to like eat it. I guess like if you're gonna actually do that, you know what I mean? Like I think trophy hunting is complete and utter asinine bull. I will talk shit about that. Like people that go kill just for the sake of
killing,
murdering an animal. Like that's. Fuck you. I don't think that I am comfortable with you not liking me if I'm offending you for that, because I think that's bullshit. If you're doing it, I think there's a gray area there. Some people might be mad at me for even saying there's a gray area. But like if you're hunting to feed your family, it is what it is. But I don't think that's going to get you laid though.
Yeah, I don't think sex appeal is up there.
Yeah. Well, it's the guy holding a fish on their profile.
Always.
Too. Have you heard the theory behind why that so many men have pictures of them holding fish? It's because it's the only time someone takes pictures of them. It's kind of sad.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's because they're not taking pictures of themselves, which is part of this whole. Because it's not masculine to.
It's only socially acceptable. It's only socially acceptable. Photo of them when they're holding a fish.
So the only photos they have are from when they caught a big fish or from
when
they're hunting.
That's a deep cut. That's like.
Mm-hmm.
That's eye opening because I've always wondered, like, do they think women are into that? But now that you've said that, if you never get your picture taken.
Right. When would you have
it? When do you feel okay with it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when you're holding a fish with buddies. I think fishing could be fun.
I grew up around fishing and fishermen. Yeah.
I would like to. I don't. Once again, this is like inner, like growing up like central city, and without like you know, with a mom that was working 80 hours a week and no dad. I didn't. When was I gonna do any of this stuff growing up? So I see people do that stuff. I'm like, I feel like fishing could be fun. I don't know. But
yeah, I feel too, I'm like a big baby now. I feel bad for the fish.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the worms.
Yeah.
I need help. I'll tell you.
But you're not a vegan either.
No.
Right? And so
I'm a hypocrite, I guess.
That's why I feel so hypocritical because I'm like, I was a vegetarian at least for 6 months because I was dating. This is back when I was, before my wife, I was dating a vegan.
That's how it happens usually.
And I was like, I can try. Because I agreed. Everything she said, I was like, yeah.
100%.
Fuck yeah. I can't disagree with you. That's everything you're saying. And then while I was with her, I slowly, and she knew it, I was like,
I can't do this.
I can't do this. I'm so sad. I think I was pescatarian for a while there because apparently fish and chicken.
Yep. I think it's just fish.
No, just fish.
I think if you're adding chicken, you're just not.
Ovalacta, there's a term for chicken, or like eggs. Because that's what I was. It wasn't chicken. I was eating eggs and fish. That's what I was. I was eating. You could have milk, cheese, fish, and like eggs. There's a term for it. Someone's gonna be. I'm gonna look it up now.
Ovalactopescatarian
or something like that. Yeah, ovalactopescatarian. Yeah. So you have
eggs,
dairy, and fish.
All right.
So I was doing that for a while. I do try to eat less red meat, like as little red meat as possible. Nowadays,
I do too. Actually, I try to eat.
Yeah, I think what could probably push me over. I wanted to get a pet chicken, and I think if I had a pet chicken, then that would ruin chicken for me.
I don't know. There are a lot of people who raise chickens that have the least care about chicken. Yeah, I'm like, holy hell!
But those are like normal human beings that. Right? Like, I feel like if I grew an emotional attachment to...
That's the thing, if you get attached to
like
it.
Mr. Clucks, sure. Whatever I name him, like, that would be... There's no way...
I would have been scarred for life. No doubt about it. If I grew up and loved something and then someone... We're eating dinner and they're like, that's Penny the chicken.
What made me really, like, cut down on red meat... I should cut down more of it, but what made me really cut down on it was, like, seeing how, like, cows are, like, can be like dogs. Like, that they're actually...
Oh, 100%.
They're super,
it's my
like,
favorite animal.
Yeah, I'm like,
That's not... Go to the next one.
I know, but I'm sorry.
No,
yeah,
you're going to
mess me up. This is us being sad that we have no willpower... Because every time I don't argue with my friends that are vegan, because I'm like, no, you're right.
You're right.
You're everything from pollution to like animal welfare, health wise. Like, I can't make a good argument about why I like a steak sometimes.
I'm going no contact with this conversation. Go to the next part.
Okay. The ones that have the cars that make that stupid noise when they change gear.
I don't get it. Hate on me, I guess. I do not understand when people have shitty cars that are so loud. I don't get it with motorcycles. Mm-hmm. At least, like, motorcycles are aesthetically pleasing looking sometimes. But, like, when they're just, like, these cars that just, and there's just, like, and I'm just like, for what? And for what, sir? I hear you. I see you. It's like the, South Park sketch was like, bah, 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 pay attention to me. Pay attention to me.
The big truck is like, big penis. Look at my big penis.
It's got it. I mean, it's like, it's one of the like least talked about needs for attention. Because if like anybody else did that, like went out somewhere was like, look at me. I need attention. Like you would obviously notice that. But so many men want to make their cards so loud just to get people to turn and look at them. It's just bizarro.
Yeah.
It is. I'm not about it.
I don't know. I think there's a guy that posted on Threads this morning that he was like 57, owned 2 Corvettes and something else. I forgot what he said, but it was like, and it was just a picture of himself. Like, do you think that I think he was like, look at ladies, you could have these Corvettes.
You could sit in this car, maybe, although maybe not, because I'm probably weird about that.
I want to read exactly what he wrote. I know it's on here somewhere. Live in Texas, own a business and corporate chemical engineer, own two C8 Corvettes. 57. Also, you own a business and a corporate chemical engineer? You own a corporate... Anyways.
What?
And, yeah, I don't know. I think this is the whole falling into the idea that women only care if you have money, right? And so...
Well, yeah, and also...
Corvettes, right?
It's also, like, you like that. There are women... They're all genders like cars, but, like, mm-hmm. a lot of the time... It's pushed for men to like cars.
I should also be clear. Yeah, when we're talking about these, I'm not trying to mock people that like these hobbies that we're going into. It's the idea that men think that this is so impressive to women.
To women.
To women specifically.
Right.
And these are, I'm only choosing the ones that have like tens of thousands of likes mm-hmm. On them, because it's not it's not usually the thing that's been like, that was how I knew he was the one when he popped my eardrum when he revved his engine.
That's the thing.
That was the day.
We're talking about the loud ones. Like right. The volume of the car has never been something I have had a woman say to me in a positive way.
Whew, it's giving me the vapors from seeing that car go by that loud.
Oh my God. I didn't. Yep. I heard it before I saw it. And yep. Then it was not much to look at. But the sound...
Or the like, what? There was this one. I hope he was a teenager. Maybe he was midlife crisis. But my old neighborhood. It was it wasn't every night, but you would hear him like peel out and vroom, vroom, and he would do it like once or twice a week. And I'm like, oh, man, I hope you're okay.
What does this?
What mean? You're dealing with something, bud. It was never like, whoa, that guy is so cool.
Like, what does he think? Does
I
he
don't
like?
Know.
Like,
it had to be.
Does he drive away and he's like, that was cool.
Man, everyone's thinking, who's that cool guy waking up my napping children every day? Oh.
You've got to do it for a reason. Like, what do they feel? Like, what do you feel
Nothing.
When you do
that? They're trying to feel something as well. This. They don't feel anything. And
a
this
break
is them.
From how dead inside I how feel.
Empty their life is.
Man.
I used to do that when I remember being a teenager with, it was all about stereos, like, especially in like the early 2000s, late night. I don't know if it still is, but I remember back then having that loud stereo in your car was a big deal.
Cool
my
guy.
older brother had the cool, he bought these giant speakers that probably caused permanent hearing damage to him at some point, because they were so loud. And I remember going, whenever I was in somebody's car with it, it'd be like, yeah, ladies.
You hear that?
You hear this? I can't hear you. I hear nothing anymore. I just hear this. My ears are bleeding, but.
I went deaf 2 blocks ago.
Mm-hmm. But so if you like flag us down to come over and talk to you, which is clearly what I'm imagining happening, is that someone's going to be like, woo, come over here.
I can't hear you.
No, can you write your number?
It's so self-centered in the sense of, like, instead of thinking about what women want, mm-hmm. they just thrust what they want on women mm-hmm. and expect that it's the same, mm-hmm. which I just don't think it's the case most of. I have not experienced it. Like, mm-hmm. I have never had a woman in all my days, and I do have straight friends. Mm-hmm. Ever say and friends that like men, not straight, mm-hmm. but like I've never had them be like, damn, that car was so loud.
Did you hear that engine?
Ooh.
Ooh. Man, I would love to sit in that car. Go to Arby's.
Curly fries.
It is, and it's fine. Like, if that's your like, there's a difference between like, you can like your thing, like your likes.
Yes,
that's great. If that's what you're into, but like, also don't like fucking wake up my kids with your car. I'm just
something happened specifically to
piss me off, because like, we just put the kids down to bed. It'd be like 11 at night. I know that's not like late, but it's like, come on, man. Get it. You have such a huge dick, dude. I'm so yeah. impressed. Wow. So big. Big PP energy. Thanks for that, man. Now I have to spend the next hour getting my daughter to fall back asleep, you asshole.
Yeah, we have some. There's a family here where the dad really enjoys little vehicles, and then the kids also now enjoy them. So there's like these motorbikes that go through the neighborhood, and all these different little, like all these different vehicles. I'm like, I don't even know what that one's called. That's a weird looking thing, but it's so loud, and I'm just like, to what end?
Yeah.
What do you want? What is this? But yeah, I don't get it. But again, it's not, the issue is not that they enjoy it. It's the idea of thinking that is appealing to women.
That's going to be the thing. That's the thing they're going to like. Yeah, like something to like it also. Don't like it because you think this is going to be what gets me women. Like that's when it's so clearly not something that's something that women put up with.
100%. It's not
something that they're like, well, he's a nice guy. He loves his car. You know, I think it's beautiful. He has a hobby. You know, that's great. It's really loud, but
it's expensive too. It's a very expensive hobby.
Yeah. All right. Next is talking about getting into physical fights and beating people up.
That's so good.
I think about that because I knew guys that were like, yeah, I'm going to fight. All the time. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't say it. I was usually smaller guys.
Oh, 100%.
Like it's like they're like the ones, at least in my personal experience, anecdotal experience, the guys I've known that were like the ones that got in allies were like the ones that felt they had something to prove. They're like these jacked 5'6" guys.
I need you to know that I can physically take other men, bigger men, even bigger than me. It's like, I don't like the violence. I think people want to know that the person they're with will defend them and would like, but that's never the vibe of what these guys are saying.
I think it just feels like you'd be mean to me. Like, not the others. Yeah. You're putting guys that also are like seeking out fights are not protecting you from danger. They're putting you actively in danger.
They're the ones starting.
Always. Look, I protected you, babe. That guy was
Brad,
just like,
stop.
He bumped into you, you asshole. Like, God, what? Now he might. What if he had a gun, Brad?
I'll take it with these guns. And then he flips.
Yeah.
I would, you know, and I'll throw in that category is also the guys who like have to prove they're stronger than you. There's been so many times that I dated guys that I would say I was strong and they would immediately wrestle me.
Right.
Like immediately to show that
wrestle?
They're stronger.
Really?
Yes. It's so common.
So
did you not
weird.
Know this?
No.
Like wrestling or like showing their strength or they're like, okay, we'll get out of this or like do this. Yeah. All the time. Also, I did get out of it a lot of the time, for the record.
I do wonder that this might be a blind spot for me because I'm a child.
No one's doing that to you, Jesco. You've been 6 foot since you were 12.
We're real life friends now, right? You've met me in real life.
No one's doing that to you.
And that's what I'm saying. This might actually be a full on blind spot for me where I've just never had to. Like, that was when in college, I'd be at places where there'd be fights. I'd be drinking at bars and things like that. And there were definitely multiple times where someone got mad at me. But then they're like,
nah,
not worth it. Like it's not that I look tough. I definitely, you've seen me. I'm not like an intimidating as far as like, I don't look like.
You look like you could do damage to someone though.
But I'm big enough. They're like, well, no one's walking away from this not feeling that someone's getting hurt.
Yeah.
From this.
Even if it's on accident.
Yeah.
I've been in many verbal fights, but I have never even gotten close. I've been in a dance fight, which is stupid. I had a girl, we were in a dance hall.
Like an actual dance battle?
Yeah.
No.
But a dumb one.
No, but this is great. Tell me, go on.
It was in high school. It was in high school. And it was me, which I danced, but I wasn't like a prima ballerina. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
I wasn't like top tier.
But you
had
a dance off?
Hold on. I had a friend with me who was, she was one of the best dancers. She was in the top school, like in our area. Like she was incredible. So this one, we're dancing. It was like a mixer. I'm like, why are we dance battle? No, but also everyone involved was white and I need you to know that.
Was this when You Got Served came out? Was this right around the same?
I don't know. I don't know what it was.
B2K is playing in the background.
No, God, probably Britney Spears. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're doing this dance thing. She walks up to me. I walk up thinking my friend is coming with me, who is the dancer. If anyone should have walked up, it should have been her. And I I go up, and she dips. She goes back. I'm like, girl, please help. So I go up to, and the girl does this crazy dance thing, and then she puts her hand up, and she goes slap, slap. Not hard, but she did hit me in the face, and I just stopped dancing, and I was like, did you just hit me?
That was uncalled for.
I was like, not into it. I was like, I just been like, what the fuck? And then the whole time, I was with this group of my guy friends. And then the whole time, she was like staring me down across the mixer. Like she was going to fight me. I'm like, first of all, neither of us are fighting. Look, we're probably at a private school dance, would be my guess. I don't remember what mixer it was. I'm like, neither of us is fighting either anybody. Certainly not you. You're smaller than me. And I was very small at the time. Let's not play games. Christina, or whatever the hell her name was.
Existed. I didn't know that was a real thing.
Oh, people do mixers. Oh my God. Stupid shit. Stupid. But yeah, that was the closest amazing. I've gotten. And she did not hit me hard, but it was enough that I was like, I don't want to be hit in the face. Like, ew. But that's the closest I've come to.
The last time I got punched was in eighth grade.
Oh.
So it was like, that's what I'm saying. This is a long time ago. And it was because I like went up and like jokingly pushed somebody, and he took it as like a challenge. And he went and he punched me in the face. And I was like, why did you punch me? My reaction was not like.
Same.
I was like, what did you do that for? And he was like, where are you? I was like, no. It's like, why are you, what the hell is your problem, man?
I love that you're like, a challenge? Swing. That's crazy.
My, I feel a little fun, a little trauma dumping here. My story, I found out from my mom that, so my father, he had hands that were like claws, like so disheveled, like he could barely even use them. Like it's severe arthritis. And so I used to worry that I was like, oh man, it must be hereditary. I'm probably going to get that happen to me too. Right. I was like, so like for years, and I talked to my doctor and she was like, what's something to be aware of will be, cause he was, it's crazy. I mean, think about it. He was my age when he's younger than me at that point. And I remember like thinking, oh my God, this is something. And I kept going to my doctor, especially like in my late 30s. So I was like, you know, this is around the age I remember when it was real bad for him. And she was like, you don't really have anything. So I remember I talked to my mom. She was like, oh, well, he broke his hands like hundreds of times. And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, she told me, and she thought about it for a long time. There was not a single date they went on that did not end with him fighting somebody, like beating the shit out of somebody. My dad was insane. And so I remembered hearing like about my dad being a fighter. And I, as a kid, you're like, that's so tough. And it makes sense now why he's such a shitty human being. It was like crazy, right? Like he like
beating people on the regular.
My mom said he would like, I've had longer conversations about the in the time since. They'd be out and other people would be fighting or starting a fight, and he would just jump in swinging. Because he loved fighting.
I have never had that instinct in my life.
Ever. No. And that's so it's weird to me that that's my bloodline. Right? And I look like I am the spitting image of him. Like face right. There's
really
definitely.
You really have the body for it, too. If you would have just been a little
he was a bulky guy, like a big guy, too. He was a little shorter than me, but still, like, he was probably like.
Thank God you were not that
way. He was the Brown Berets, which was like, he was, my dad was a guy.
You would be literally deadly. Like, with your size?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Luckily, I'm a very gentle giant, and I don't have that aspect of my.
My dad's probably went into fights, but he's not. not a fighter.
But to the point where
No. But then my dad's dad was like what was he? Oh my God, a colonel something. Lieutenant colonel, is that right? Ah, damn it. Anyways, he was in the army and he went to Korea, Vietnam. Like he was he was a tough motherfucker. Mm-hmm. But his dad, by the time I knew him, he was like this really gentle. He was he's old. He would have been in his 70s, 80s. Like soft-spoken. Mm-hmm. I thought he was a sweet gentleman. Wrong.
No.
He was a bare-knuckle boxer. He was infamous for how hard he could hit. He actually would be a bouncer because when people saw that he was there, they were like, fuck that. Mm-hmm. He survived. He worked in the mines. There's Bonterre Mines is like in Missouri. There's these mines.
A bare knuckle boxer that worked in the mines is so,
this is a real, this
crazy.
Is real.
Yeah.
He was in the mine when it collapsed, came out.
Wow.
Fucking survive. Like, he was the toughest motherfucker. And then look at me. What happened?
I know. I think about like my dad was in the Army and he like was in all these random fights. My uncle was in Vietnam. My great uncle was in the Korean War. My grandmother was a World War II Marine. She was a Rosie the Riveter. Like I have all of these like all of my uncles were in the military. Mm-hmm. And then there's I am a teacher and a podcaster.
I make videos online.
I make videos on the internet about guys that hurt my feelings.
You gotta wonder if they don't like think like
Yeah.
Well,
like, we gave him the genes to be the next inner
bastard.
And you threw it away. You decided to care.
I don't have any of the genes that, I don't know. I don't think, because he wasn't, my great grandpa was not that big either. He was just fucking, strong.
One of those little guys with the butt.
I bet he's probably 6 foot, but when they have that, like the muscle man build where it's like, they kind of look normal, but like they could probably punch through a brick.
Right. Right.
Oh, and then, then there's me. there's just nothing here.
You know what muscle I decided to use?
Your brain? Your heart?
My heart. It's the most important muscle.
Also, no one's going to fucking fight you. So.
That's also, it is, I have not had a lot of, I had found out a friend way back when used to, I thought we were good friends, but I found out that because he was a shit talker.
He
invited me places to go with him because nobody would try to fight him because he wasn't a fighter. He was just a shit talker.
You know what? That's something I've never had to struggle with is wondering, did they only invite me here because I'm so tough looking?
I found out later on. I was like, that's the only reason why he used to invite me to go places with him is because I'd be standing next to him and nobody would come up and try to,
I will get in the mix. If I think someone's doing something bad, like I've definitely gotten into the mix with women, defending women, other women. Mm-hmm. But I've never, I don't think clearly in those moments. I need to be smarter.
I am ferociously protective of my family though. That is one thing I am.
Same.
That's the one time, like my wife even will be like she'll send me places cause she knows that I will fucking I don't back down if I feel someone fucked over my kids or my wife. I am like, let me talk to them. And it's, you can see, and she said before, I get this look in my eyes. That is genuinely
my wife
scary.
Talks about it. She's like, I also my house had my sisters are very intelligent. My parents are both really smart, very intelligent. And so, we would battle words, and, you had to be on your fucking A game in my house or you were going to get eviscerated. Mm-hmm. And so, if it comes down to a battle of words, I feel quite confident because I also don't back down very easily. Mm-hmm. And, I think sometimes men are not prepared for the energy with which I bring my arguments. Because then they're like, oh, shit, no, I don't want to do this, actually.
I had my older brother used to beat the shit out of me when I was younger. But he would, the way he would do it was, and I think, I'm not even mad at him for it, because I think he thought he was, being the fill-in father, where he would punch me, and if I made a noise, he was like, I'm gonna punch you harder in this exact same spot. And so I have this absurdly high pain tolerance that I think I built up just because I had years of my older brother abusing me so that I wouldn't. And then finally, at first it was make a noise like a man, he would say to me, because I would go I'm a little boy. I'd be
why are you doing that?
And then I learned to go, and then he was like, now no noise.
Jesus like Christ, Jesco.
Yeah, he thought he was making me a man, and clear, it just made me realize. I was like, why do people like getting punched? It sucks.
I did have a sister grow a foot over a summer and had proprioceptive
issues. A third foot?
Yes, exactly. No, but like we were about the same height, and then after one summer, we were not close to the same height, and I was still being a shit disturber. And she has proprioceptive issues, so she would wail on me and not know she was wailing on me.
Oh, no.
And then there's finally one time she smacked my chest. I can't remember, but it left a red mark. And I was like, look. And she was like horrified.
Oh my God, yeah.
She had no idea she had hit me that hard. I was
my kids don't like physically fight almost ever. And they every once in a while, one of them hit another one because they're, you know, they're young kids. And I get so upset. I'm like, I'm so upset. And I think back, I'm like,
what? I wonder why.
No, I know, but I'm like, I get so mad at them, like, for doing it. And I'm like, I don't like scream at them or anything, but I'm like, you know, that is something we talk about, because that is not okay. You do not use your hands that way. It's just a blah, 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 blah. But I think about it, I'm like, man, when we were growing up, like, everybody's brother and sister, at least in my, like, friends, they used to beat the shit out of each other. And our parents didn't care at all.
Yeah, we were more like wrestled and roughhouse, but yeah, there were absolutely definitely some whammies.
Yeah.
I was not, a lot of times it was, there was some, I would, honestly, I would have preferred a hit to some of the verbal altercations that we got into. They were like diabolical. Oh God, you could rip each other's souls out with certain, you said the right thing, but holy hell. Yeah. I knew a lot. I've knew people who got like whooped growing up. Like,
I feel bad when I like am too loud with my kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I have to go talk to her and apologize. That was not acceptable.
I'll literally be like, God, I hope I didn't take my emotions out on her. Like, I was upset at the thing that she did, but I hope it wasn't too much.
Right.
That wasn't and then I look at how everybody else grew up, I'm like, oh, I think we're all right.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to be fine. I think we're overthinking this. It's a good thing to overthink. I think caring about your kids' long-term being is good. And I'm happy I don't beat my kids.
I feel like you either, like, turn into your parents in some ways, or you didn't like something that about the way they raise you, and you fight very hard not to go that route.
My youngest learned, like, she knows that hitting is bad, and so she'll say I remember one time she decided to say like, "Why are you hitting me?" And we're like not even touching her. Or she'd go to the other parent that was in it, and she'd be like, "Dad, mommy hit me." And I'm like,
insane behavior. Yeah,
she would go, but she knew because hitting was bad.
And yeah,
she's like,
what's bad enough that I can get something? Yeah,
and
from
we
this?
Didn't believe it because neither of us hit the kids. And we're like, and at one point, we're like, baby, you can't tell people that, like, that's not what we're doing.
You're making false reports here.
She also elopes, she'll run. And so, like, occasionally, like as she was like running toward a street, I drive over and grab her. And she'd be like, why'd you hit me? I'm like, I was keeping you from getting hit by a car.
That is not how that went.
That is not hitting. And I feel like we've done such a good job of not hitting our kids that they don't know what hitting is. They've heard about it. They've seen it on TV, I guess. This is,
your hand grabbed this me. That must be hitting.
This is abuse. Let me run in the street with the cars. How dare you, father? Abuser! Abuser!
Oh, man. The other day, I was, my daughter, we were getting ready for school. She just could not stay on task. The only thing in the world I wanted her to do was eat this bowl of cereal. She was just doing all kinds of crazy. She was like playing, doing all this different stuff. She finally comes back to eat the cereal after I've corrected it a couple of times and told her, you know, come back and sit. And I like went to go get something and I just hear, tonk, and then splat. She has spilt the entire cereal bowl. And I'm like, I told you. I got so mad. And then after, there was something where something happened, which I didn't care that it had happened. And I was like, hey, there's no reason to get upset over small things. And she's like, well, you got angry with me earlier. And I was like, why did I get angry, though? Because for the fifth time. time. Yeah. You finally sat down to eat cereal and spilled the entire bowl. It like went through, it like got into the wood. I was like,
right.
Ah! But she was like, well, actually, you got quite angry with me, mother. Like, I did not. I barely even raised my voice.
One of my favorite stories of like similar thing of kids being smart asses. We're like, oh, that's not okay to do. Was when we were driving when I was little. I was like 8, and remember back in the day they would have cigarette lighters in the back seat of cars.
Oh God, yes.
And I, as a curious child, I remember it. Like the rings were fully burned onto my finger. And we're in the middle. I remember specifically where we are. We grew up in the Bay Area. We were driving through a long tunnel. So there's nowhere to pull over. And I am screaming bloody murder. My brother's in the backseat. He's like, my mom said, his words were, this is bad, mom. This is real bad. And she's like, I can't pull over. I can't pull over because we're in a tunnel. And he says to her, you sure can always find somewhere to pull over when you want to smack us.
Jesus. Oh my God.
And she was like, you're going to get yourself.
I'll smack you when we get out of the tunnel.
First off, I'm going to smack you. Then I'm going to check out and make sure that Chesco is okay. Oh, man. I'm surprised I still have fingerprints, though, because that was a real bad one.
I'm very lucky I did not grow up a smacking house. I don't think I would have survived. My mouth was cashing checks.
She didn't hit. Like, we didn't get beat, but it was always our punishment would be the, like, it was something hand like smack. That. Like a hand smack. And that was enough, though. Like, if it got to that point, we knew we fucked up. Like, that was, I had a couple spankings, like, when it was, like, one time I was lighting matches and putting them under the couch.
Oh!
I found the bag of matches. My mom walks in, and she was like, I'm fairly like young. Burning. Yeah, what is, I was really apparently into fire. Like, that's two stories related right there. Luckily, I never burned it. But she came in, she was like, what, do you guys smell that? And I was like,
no.
I had my hands behind my back, and she was like, what do you have? And I held up this empty pack of matches, and she looks under so luckily I didn't burn down her house, but that one, I'm not even that mad about it. That got me, a pretty bad spanking. Cause I was like, I learned not to play with matches that day. My first Boy Scout meeting, I got almost kicked out. Did I ever share this story with you?
I
didn't go to the Boy Scouts. I went to one Boy Scout meeting and decided it wasn't for me because we were at they had candles in the middle of the table and I lit something on fire. And the guy came over, gave me a badge and cut the corner off of it because it was like supposed to be like that. I don't remember specifically what it was, but it was like my fire chit or something. Uh-huh. He was like, because I broke a rule and I got in trouble. And I was like, okay. And so I was like, I remember going home. I was like, I don't want to go back there anymore.
He took your badge from you?
He gave me a badge that was a fire badge and cut off the corner of it because I broke a rule. I remember specifically, I don't know what he gave me.
What does it mean?
I don't know, but it was that was supposed to be a big deal.
Oh, cut off like, he's got a corner off his badge. He's a bad boy.
He is a fire starter. And so,
that's the equivalent of a loud muffler for a Boy Scout.
Right. Whoa! Have you seen his fire badge?
He's got all the boys are cutting all the sides.
Yeah,
off
they're like doing it on purpose.
Badges.
Like, yeah. If someone was in the Boy Scouts and has any idea what I'm talking about, that's my memory of this interaction. I have nothing else to go by other than but I also create narratives to fit my feelings. Does that make, like, in my memories? I will have full on narratives that I have decided how something went. It's only later on when I, like, really, usually with a therapist, I'm like unpacking it. I'm like, that isn't what happened at all. There was one time I got in trouble. I didn't get hit for this one, but I remember we were at some sort of a park where they had like these like things where you got to like shoot spears out of. That's where we were going to. But I didn't get to go there because I was being a little shit doing something. And so my mom took me back to the car when my brother and my cousin got to go. And I was so mad. And I was apparently in the back seat drawing pictures of like... My mom said I gave her one picture and it was like me with no mom. And it was just me, sad. like, this is how I feel right now. Like, I'm on fire. It's like once again, it was like, but I was like giving, apparently there was not a word that was said. We were sitting in the car and I was just furiously drawing pictures about how upset I was that I didn't get to shoot the spears or whatever.
There's so many things kids that I thought were like brutal, and then they're like, you idiot. Like, right. There was one time, it was something completely insignificant, but I was like, screw it, I'm running away, and for no reason whatsoever. So I packed a little suitcase and I started walking, and it was like cold out, and my mom's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm running away. She's like, okay. She's like, well, how about I make you like a cup of hot cocoa before you go, and then you can just go ahead and run away. And I was like, fine, I will have hot cocoa.
Mother.
And I wheeled my little big suitcase back in. And then obviously I freaking stayed because I had hot cocoa at that point.
Of course, you're not mad. You forgot why you're even mad at that point.
There was that one time my sister chased me down on bikes when I was staging a runaway. Again, I was not running away, and I was not, there was no reason I was doing it other than I was being a brat.
Yeah.
But I remember I was like, I've been busted.
You got me. The cops.
Behind me. The coppers got me.
You're yelling at your sisters, ACAB! ACAB!
Serpentine! Oh, shit.
My mom never had to worry about that with me because I was so worried all the time. So the idea of, like, leaving my house was, I was such a rule, like, it goes back to the rule following, but that was, like, that was never a threat I made. It was more so me, everyone was going to be very aware that I was upset with this situation. And my mom said the one thing that really, there was a certain point, probably around, and she said it was around like 11 or 12, where I was always very, and this is the autism coming out again, the undiagnosed, things had to be correct. And I was at around 11 or 12, I read so many books, like in the hundreds a year, right? And I'd spend so much time reading and researching in the library that I knew a lot of random factoids. And so somebody would say something and I'd be like, actually,
oh, no.
And they said it. My mom said they couldn't always. And it was about halfway through the argument they'd realize that I was right. And she was like, at that point, you can't just at that, because I was being a little shit though. It wasn't like I was just being like, oh, actually, I read this.
Did you know?
Did you know? Actually, no. This it was me being like not knowing how to express my emotion. So she's like, and it was. She was like, it pissed her off because it was like. It happened over and over again at right around 12 where she realized that if I was upset about something, it was because I was probably right. And she said it was so upsetting because you couldn't also just give in at that point because then it's because it's about the principle in that moment of like respecting your caregiver. But I was such a little shit. I think about it. I'm like, oh, God. But, I mean, it wasn't my fault. I didn't know why I was so concerned with rules and correction and all that goes into that. My teachers loved it, too.
I bet they did. Yeah. I bet they loved it.
I've shared stories about that before. About, like, I did find out that the teacher that I thought fucking hated me, that she, years later, when I went back and visited, they asked me to host this thing, and she was like, no, you were one of my favorite students I've ever had. And I was like, all this time, I thought you fucking hated me. She was like, well, you were terrible. Like, in my class, you were very harsh. She was like,
you were a nightmare.
You were an absolute nightmare. And I guarantee, like, in hindsight, I know I didn't feel like I was being that way. Now that I have a child that's very much like me, I'm like, oh, that's probably what was going on. And I was fully oblivious to all of that. I think my son is, that's his brain works very similar to me in that regard. And he'll bring up something and he doesn't like the fact that I'm also very aware of what's going on. And so we're able to, when we do it, we go back and forth. It's like ping pong. It's like boom, boom, boom.
Right.
And finally we land on the right answer. But him and my wife getting such like arguments, like where I can tell, like, okay, I'm gonna step in right now because I think this is not going, because their brains don't process information in that same weird way.
Wow, so we really got off track here.
We did. I don't remember what we were talking about.
We're talking about the fighting one, women's icks.
Yeah,
from your Reddit list.
Yeah, there's a bunch more we could have gone. This is on Threads, but
Threads.
Yeah, there's way too many men mention their privates under their prowess far too soon.
Ew.
Yuck. But, I can't even fathom.
Biased.
Yeah, I like the amount of women I know that receive pictures, you know, from unsolicited all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's no comparison for men. Like, it's like, I'm big enough on the internet, and you've read my comment sections. I've never received an unsolicited picture because it's wrong. Because that's I think for some reason, women are able to understand that that's really problematic to send something unsolicited, even though I'm sure many men would be like, not care because they can't understand the idea that this is horribly wrong in doing that. But
good Lord.
Also, if a guy's bragging about how good they are in bed, what percentage of them are actually good in bed?
Zero.
I have to imagine that I don't, it's one of the places where confidence to overconfidence is not going to benefit you.
If you're your own referral, then I fear you're not good.
Every woman loves it because it's also the thing. Oh, it's my move, my special move that I have that every woman likes.
Sorry, sir.
It's almost like women are different.
It's almost like they're people with different wants and desires. Wild.
Oh, this is another good one. I know we only have a few minutes left, but telling you you're not like the other girls.
Oh, God. That's been said to me so many times. That's like very clearly they don't like women.
Or backhanded compliments that put down women. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that means you don't normally like women. So the fact that I am quote unquote different from them.
Right.
It also sets you up for them to like, it's a good manipulation to keep you being what they want.
Right.
Because then it's like, oh, but you're different. So stay different.
Mm-hmm.
Continue to do this cool girl shit. Don't be like those other ones
that nobody likes.
Yeah, you don't want to be like the other women. I like
you because you're cool with me treating you like shit.
You know how you let me treat you like shit? Keep that up, girly.
I like that.
That's, I like that a lot.
Just so you know, bonus points in my book.
You know how you have the bar that's in hell for men? You keep it there, girlfriend. Every you can lower that sucker.
Like, walked out the door when I did this, but you stayed. You're not like the other girls. You have zero standards.
I've had that said to me. Brutal. I've had that said to me for so many dumb fucking reasons. Like, it could literally just be like, I play video games.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, huh. You're not like other girls. Like, other girls play video games, you weirdo. They just don't want to play with you.
Right.
God.
What's also the reason why you don't hear women playing video games as much is because of the horrific shit that gets said and done to women whenever their voice is heard while playing them. It's like, oh, it's weird. I never see any women in this online game that I'm playing. It's, yeah, because they all have their microphone turned off.
It's like, shut up, bitch. Yeah, I'm like, there it is.
Horrific. Anytime one of them actually says their word in voice chat, says a word in voice chat. I love the pro gamers that are the
yes, that's what I was gonna say. There's like these beautiful women who get in there and like, not only do they eviscerate them in the game, they're just like stunning, funny. And the guy's like, you're an old, stop, ugly. And you're like, actually, aesthetically speaking, she's probably the woman of your dreams. It's like amazing to see what they insult, having no idea who they're talking to.
Those guys would be the first ones to say like, why can't I find a woman that likes gaming too? And then they'll go on the game, you fucking blah, 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 blah. Bye, you stupid. Go make me a sandwich. What are you doing outside the kitchen? Should be in here.
Why can't I find a nice girl?
Why? I just don't understand it. They just want to play games with me. God.
They're always attacking her physique and like her looks, and they're like, God, why do women care so much about looks? Like, no, you do.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
This is so hard to be a male gamer.
Oh, man. I'm happy we had this whole conversation about how hard it is to be a man these days.
Yeah, it's tough out there. Well, friends, thank you so much for listening. Sorry we've had a little hiatus on and off here, but we're back. Give us some grace as it is the holiday season, so we don't know when we'll be posting. There might be a gap or two.
Maybe we'll post, maybe I'll start posting some of our original episodes from back
our
when.
Classics.
Our classics.
I have
play
yeah,
some of
I've,
the hits.
I have some that are my favorites. I cry. I still can cry laugh to some of them. I've told you my favorite one will always be the one gorilla versus 100 men. Isn't right. that what it was? Because I have never seen you more serious about. I thought we were going to go in there with the lols and just like shoot the shit. And you're like, listen, scientifically.
I stand like, by this. I think there's a lot of like people that are actually of scientific backgrounds that have come with me. This is my flat earth moment where I still stand by a gorilla would beat the shit out of 100 men.
I agree. And also, like, mm-hmm. I agree people would bail if they even showed right. up.
I think,
and would be mentally, yeah, literally.
We don't need to rehash the whole thing again, but maybe I will repost that one again. But I do think the point that I was trying to make is the psychological aspect of fighting a gorilla is not something that anybody is taking into account. You can't just think of physiologically like 100 men versus a gorilla. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. 100 men bombarding a gorilla, that's not going to happen, though. All it takes is one of them getting their skull crushed. Anyway, that's a whole, we did an hour-long episode on this. We don't need to rehash it.
And also, and then we'll stop. It's not just that. It's also the overconfidence with which the men would go into the battle mm-hmm. and then realize, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
all right, friends. Well, thank you for listening. As always, make sure to check out our socials, which you'll see linked in this episode. And we will see you next time.
Bye. Love you.
Bye.